So this month we're going to focus on a series calling Tell Somebody About Jesus. How to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't want to just assume just because you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior that you know how to do that. And so over the next couple of weeks, we want to be able to walk this out and to help you, give you tools, help empower you to follow, obviously, what Scripture has put down for us, right, to tell others about Jesus. But I think so often we make it so difficult, and we put it for those in ministry or for the evangelists, right, for those that have that literal gifting of evangelism. We're just going to let them take care of it, or we're going to let the church or the pastors take care of it. But the Bible actually says for all of us, we're all commissioned to the Great Commission. And so just because you don't have a title, pastor or evangelist, doesn't mean that you're exempt from being a witness, from sharing the love of Jesus with people. Amen? Man, so good to see you guys. I hope already you've just felt the presence of the Lord and his power and his might. We don't come to church just to sit in a pew and to consume, right? We come to participate, like what Pastor Carlton was talking about. We come to be a blessing to other people. Of course, we come to receive knowledge and his word, but that doesn't just stop there, right? Hopefully all throughout the week you are eating in God's word and you're eating in his presence, because just once a week is not enough. It's not. In this day and age, we need God's presence and we need his power and we need his spirit daily, if not multiple times throughout the day, because we are in a spiritual battle, you guys. Outside of these walls is a real world that is going to hell without Jesus. Without the power of Jesus in their life, they are going to meet eternal damnation. I know that is a rough reality, but we're called to bring the hope of Jesus to the world. That's why one of our t-shirts say, hope has a name on the front, and on the back of it, it says, hashtag Jesus. Why do you think we even provide shirts like that? It's not to make money. It's so that we have tools that as we're out and about in our everyday lives, they're great conversation starters. I can't tell you how many times when I wear my Hope Has a Name shirt, people stop and they ask about it, or they say, you know what, I need hope. How many opportunities I've had to share with somebody, encourage them, pray with them right there on the spot, just from a simple wearing a t-shirt. God is calling all of us to tell somebody about Jesus. And so this month, that's going to be the challenge. This month is for all of us to pray about who is God asking us to, in this month, reach out to. Can you imagine if every single one of us took that upon this next month? We would see neighborhood, our neighbors would come to know Jesus, our family. There'd be more people. This church would be more full, right? Because we would be saying yes to the call. So we're talking about evangelism. That's kind of a big word maybe for some of you. If you look it up in the dictionary, the literal definition is the spreading of the Christian gospel by publicly preaching or personal witness. All right, and so that's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. Spreading the gospel, obviously by public preaching, the big things, the big events, the big conferences, of course, but then also our personal responsibility of the personal witness. Jesus said to go and be my witness. That means in our regular, ordinary life, we're just supposed to show up at our job, show up at our family and our neighborhood, and we're to be the love of Jesus, to be the light of Jesus. In our personality, in our failures, in our shortcomings, we're just supposed to show up and bring us. That's pretty easy, don't you think? Jesus made that pretty easy. He didn't say show up and be perfect like I am. He didn't say you had to have it all figured out. No, he just said, be my witness. We can all be. So release the pressure today, all right? All God is asking you to do is show up and be you and to love people, to be aware of the people around you in your neighborhood, at your job, in your family who don't know Jesus. Because we are living in a day and age where Jesus is going to split the clouds at some point and the King of Kings is coming back for us as a church. And we've got to be ready individually. But I don't know about you, there are people that I love that still don't know Jesus. And so our job is to help them know that. Amen. Obviously, from the video, there's a right way to do this and a very wrong way to do that. Here are some things to avoid when sharing the love of Jesus with somebody. And these are going to be obvious to you, but boy, I've seen it done wrong so many times. Pressuring somebody, okay? That would not be a good way to share the love of Jesus. Avoid pressuring somebody into making a decision. The love of Jesus is grace-filled. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Even as we're planting seeds, we don't want to shove the seeds in their mouth, right? So avoid pressuring. Our job is to just plant the seed, and the Holy Spirit brings the harvest, right? So don't pressure. Don't distort the message. Don't distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to preach it clear. There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose again. We preach the straight message from the Bible. So don't distort it. Here's another thing. Don't argue. In our evangelizing and sharing the gospel, it's not a time to prove right and wrong. It's a time to share the love of Jesus, the grace of God. Arguments never win anything. Do we know that? Arguments don't build friendships. There's many ways to evangelize, and what we're going to be talking about today is really the focus on friendship evangelism, relational evangelism. You all know Billy Graham, correct? He was a great evangelist of his time. He was called to preach the gospel, and people came to know Jesus by the thousands, hundreds of thousands. I don't even know the total number. It's probably in the millions. So he was called to get on a stage in great stadiums and call people to repentance, all right? So that is a form of evangelism, absolutely. But what we're going to be talking about is that individual, personal relationship in our everyday life as we're encountering people and sharing the love of Jesus, sharing our story of what God has done in our life. Because if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he has absolutely changed your life. So therefore, you have a rescue story. Anybody in here have a rescue story? Amen. How the Savior rescued you out of sin? Amen. And so what we get to do then is share that with others. Share that rescue story. Another thing to avoid when evangelizing. Don't yell at them that they're a sinner. Okay? Now we know that that's true, right? The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But to get... you know, to stand on a street corner and to yell into a microphone to masses that you're a sinner and you're going to hell, it's factual, right? We get that. But it may not be the best way to present the love of Jesus in that way, all right? So that's never helpful. And the other thing is just to be sensitive. When you are in a relationship and you've been talking to somebody about Jesus, or maybe it's a family member or it's a neighbor, and you've had these relationship and conversations, if they keep saying, no, I'm not interested, no, I don't want to come to church, no, and you just keep badgering them, there's a point where you just need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let it go, yeah. Right? And realize that the Holy Spirit can continue to work on them and maybe come back to it, but you don't want to just keep hounding and hounding and hounding. Again, we don't want to, this isn't by force, right? We're not forcing people to know Jesus. We want to invite them in, just like Jesus has invited us in, right? The great supper of the Lamb at some point when we're in heaven, right? We've been invited to that. And so the goal is to get as many RSVPs, right? People that are saying, yep, I'm going to that. I'm going to that. I'm going to be there. But we don't want to force people to that. So just some encouragement. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way. So we, as Christ followers, want to present Jesus in a way that people say yes to, right? Amen? Anybody with me?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's pray as we get into scripture today. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. Jesus, we don't take it for granted your presence. We don't take your grace or your love for granted. Lord, we pray in these next few moments, Father, thank you for your word, that it's living and activated. God, illuminate our hearts, open our minds right now. Open our ears to hear what you have to say to us specifically. God, I pray you call us into account, that you'll challenge us today to be your light, to be your love, to take this gospel, this good news to somebody specific this month. God, show us who that person is. Help us to begin to pray for them and pray for opportunities to share your love. We thank you, Jesus, so much in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at some different scriptures today. So if you have your word, open it up, or if you've got your device, go ahead, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. We're going to start there. So I'll tell you this. I'm standing on the word today, and I'm trusting the Lord. So I've had a couple of rough days, and just letting you know my vulnerability, that feeling a little off. But here's what I do know. Our Savior, right? He walks with us, right? We're not alone, and he gives us strength when we're weak. And so bear with me today if it feels a little challenging. I'm feeling it, but I'm trusting the Lord, his word, that he has a word for you. So we're going to get it out. Amen? All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. This is the second letter that Paul is writing to the church of Corinthians, about a year in between the first letter in 1 Corinthians. And basically, he's trying to help the church understand that the gospel is connected to real life problems. Like, it really is the answer to what they're going through, okay? So as we read it, we want to read it through that context. So starting in verse 11, it says this, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we're giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God, and if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Verse 15, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Aren't we thankful for that? Anybody who has come to Christ is a new person by the power of Jesus. The old life has gone and the new life has begun. So the moment we find Jesus and we invite him into our life to be our Lord and Savior, it just starts there. It just begins. And then we spend the rest of our life here on earth figuring that out, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Jesus Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, bringing people back to Jesus. He's giving us, me and you, the task of that. Bringing people back to Jesus. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. That's why it's called the good news. The message of Jesus Christ and what he does brings reconciliation. It brings peace. It brings hope. It brings healing to situations and to lives. If you know Jesus right now as your Lord and Savior, that's what you have. Look at your hands right now. Put your hands out like this. That's what you have. You have this gift of reconciliation, of hope and healing and grace. If Jesus is already your Lord and Savior, he's given us that to be able to give to the world. Not to hold it to ourselves, but to give it away. So that heaven can be full, so that men and women who are broken and desperate in need can find Jesus. It's not just good enough for us to know it and for us to go to heaven, but it's we got to bring more people with us. Amen? Okay, so back to, here we go. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, praise God. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but how cool is that? You don't think you got a purpose? You don't know what God's calling you to do? It helps to read the Bible because he tells us. He's really clear. We're his ambassadors. Amen. You want to know the purpose for your life? Representing Jesus. It may look different. You might have a different job title, or it might flesh out in a different creative way. But in general, we're called as ambassadors of Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And then verse 6, we'll look at verse 1 and 2. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. When you're at work, when you're in your neighborhood, when you're with your friends, today is the day of their salvation. Now again, what we talked about earlier, we don't want to jam it down their throat. We don't want to give them all the verses and say, smack it over the head. We do it out of relationship and conversation, and we talk with them, and we plant the seeds of life and hope, and we allow the Holy Spirit, right, to do his great work. The Holy Spirit is the one that compels us to share the good news of salvation. It's good news. When we have good news, we want to tell people, right? So we must take seriously the call to share our faith with other people. God's saying it in his word. He's calling us to it. And so we must take that seriously, you guys. We'll be accountable to the Lord for what we did or didn't do. He needs us to be his hands extended to this world that is in desperate need. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul paints a picture of a powerful force of love that we carry in our life. It compels us. It controls us, right? It pushes us to good things so that we can share that with other people. It's a matter of realizing the full depth of being loved, all right? So we got to realize that for ourselves, the full depth of being loved by God, and then feeling compelled to share it so others can feel it too. God is our Father, and we are first and foremost, you guys, we're sons and daughters, okay? And we're going to get into this later on in the year, but beyond anything else, we're a son and a daughter, right? We're Christ's follower before we're any other labels, right? So that's how we want to connect with the Lord, as a son or a daughter. It's a love that calls us to do things that sometimes may not make sense to others or may even seem ridiculous to other people. But that love compels us to share with others the power of Jesus. God intends to see the world redeemed through us, right? Through us sharing the gospel, through his good news. He needs us to be able to share that to the world that is in such a desperate need. Paul says that Christians, Christ followers, we are to be those ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. Simply said, ambassador is a person who acts as a representative. I want to ask you today, how's that going for you? How is your ambassadorship for Christ? When you're in your neighborhood, when you're at the store, when you're driving, when you're online, oh boy, when you're talking with your family, we're called to be ambassadors, to represent Christ in all things. Now listen, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, right? Again, he's a father. Anybody in here that has children, has raised children, you know kids don't always get it, right? Sometimes it takes them a long time to learn the same lesson over and over again. So God's got grace. Because I don't know about you, there are things that the Lord has had to have me learn, and it's taken me a minute. So his grace, he loves us. And we're his kids. but we're ambassadors. So how are you representing Jesus in your everyday life, in your regular life? There's a lot of grace that comes with that, but there is a responsibility to that as well. We're entrusted to take this love of Jesus to the world, and we're equipped to handle it because of him. God believes in us that we can do it. Do you get that? Like, he so believes in us that he's asked us to be his representative. That's pretty cool. Like, what a cool, like, job to be able to, like, represent Jesus Christ. I take that very seriously. I do. And I've messed it up. I haven't always represented Jesus' name perfectly. I definitely will tell you that. But I do take that seriously because I believe that everywhere I go, I am a light, and I believe that my life is an example, and I believe I carry the burden of that. And we all need to, because again, we're called, whether you like it or not, once you're a Christ follower, you are an ambassador. So you got the job, whether you signed up for it or not, or whether you realized it. So we are all ambassadors. Turn to your neighbor and say, hello, ambassador. Oh, goodness. So at some point, every parent in the room has said this: when you leave this house, you're representing this family. Anybody ever heard that or said that, right? Yeah. It's typically meant to discourage, like, foolish behavior that would reflect poorly on the family. However, it's not an uncommon thing. Football teams are reminded that this is our house when they're getting ready for a home game. They're reminded how to represent. Employers say to new and existing employees, you are the face of our company. All right? So it's a thing that's all over. And so the same for us. How are we representing the name of Jesus Christ, the price that he paid on the cross? How is our life an example of that? As ambassadors for Christ, God calls us to consider that our words and our actions represent Jesus, and they're supposed to reflect his position. Right? His position, not our opinion, and not even our own position, but his position. Our actions are supposed to reflect that. So God had a plan, all right? He has a plan of salvation, so I want to walk us through that. I forgot today, again, just had some struggles lately. I forgot. I bought everybody a really great bookmark, and so I'll bring it another week, and so we'll pass that out. But on it has God's plan of salvation. Some of you already know this, but it's just a helpful little bookmark to keep in your Bible and even to familiarize yourself, because I think as Christ followers, we need to understand God's plan of salvation and how to walk with somebody through that, whether with the scriptures and things like that. And so I'll bring that in the weeks to follow, and we'll make sure we get that out to everyone. So God's plan of salvation is this. Number one, all have sinned, right? So we can all relax and breathe it in. Romans 3:23 says this: for all have sinned and fall short. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Puts us all in the same place, right? Rich, poor, smart, whatever, it doesn't matter. The ground is level at the cross. We've all sinned. Second thing is, there's penalty for sin. For our disobedience against God's word, there's penalty, you guys. Sin is very real. Sin is what separates us from God in our own lives. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so sin came into the world, obviously, through Adam and Eve and the enemy, the devil, of course. And so we live in a fallen world full of sin, and we all sin, and so we need saved, right? We need a savior. We need a rescue from the sin in the world, right? And there's a penalty for that. The next thing is, you cannot save yourself. No matter how smart you are, no matter how much you try to figure it out or do good, you cannot, I cannot, none of us can save ourselves. We are drowning in sin without a savior, right? I mean, there is a savior, but without him, you're drowning. Titus 3 says this: Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. That doesn't sound very good, does it? But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through his Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. And amen, amen, and amen. All right, we cannot save ourselves. So God put together a plan of salvation, so that we can know him, we can know the truth, we can have that gift, be knowing it in ourselves, and then be able to freely give that away. Salvation has been provided. John 3:16, you guys know that scripture so well. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish and have everlasting life. Anybody, that's for all. His love, his grace is for all people. Salvation has been provided for. The price for sin has been paid by Jesus Christ already. So now we get to just offer that to people. To share that hope, that love, that grace. Here are the conditions, but they are very simple, all right? Number one is this, repent, right? Repent of your sin. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized. All right, so that's the first thing. Really simple, repent. The second thing is to confess. All right, Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's just that simple. If you look at the thief on the cross, the story of the thief, he didn't have much time. He wasn't going to a discipleship class. He wasn't spending lots of time in prayer. Right? He literally was hanging there getting ready to die and just looked over to Jesus and said, can I too be with you in paradise? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Confess our sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing is that, believe. Repent, confess, believe. That's how simple God's plan is for us to share with people, right? Acts 16:31 says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. So those are the conditions. How simple is that, right? To share with others. Matthew 28 talks about that we're called to make disciples, right? Says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When he saw them, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. All right? We're called to go, we're called to make, we're called to teach others this gift. This good news, this message of reconciliation that we've been given. So in our last few moments that we have, here's our part, right? So God has a plan of salvation, but we have a part to play in that. So here's the first thing. We got to start with prayer. Start praying for opportunities to meet people. Ask the Lord daily for divine connection. Ask the Lord to begin presenting those opportunities. You heard Pastor Leah last week share she had been praying and all of a sudden then ran into the opportunity to share with the lady at Arby's. Begin praying for those opportunities. If you ask the Lord for divine appointments, I promise you, they'll start showing up. Amen. So start with prayer, okay? The next thing is, Whoever you're thinking of this month that you want to reach out to, begin, if you don't already have a relationship with them, begin building a friendship. If it's a neighbor, just begin building a friendship. Don't go in hot and heavy the first time meeting your neighbor and like, okay, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? I mean, calm it down. Get to know them. Ask some questions. Become their friend. Bring some cookies. Like, you know, we want to share the love of Jesus and we realize the eternity, right? So there is a realistic, like, you know, we don't know the time when the Lord will come back. So there is that. We want to tell people that imminent thing, right? But in friendship evangelism, you want to build that relationship. So start, share your story of your life and your family and what God has done for you. Begin to build a relationship, all right? And then the Lord can walk through that and walk over that. All right. Number three is this: ask them questions. Let spiritual conversations flow out of conversation. Here's some good things to start with. You can ask them, do they believe in God? Have they been a part of a church? You know, you can ask them, what do they believe in general? How do they feel about what's going on in our world? There's all kinds of questions that can begin. You can begin to learn where they're at, where they've been, right? And then that can help you in your friendship building. Asking questions shows that you care about people. When you ask somebody how they're doing or you ask about their life, it means that you care. You're not just there for what you can get, right? So that's really important. Here's the fourth thing. Listen, right? Begin to listen. If they're sharing, they're talking, they're putting out a need, listen to what they're saying. Don't just be so agenda-based that you want to get them prayed for and get them saved, right? Obviously, we want people to come to know Jesus. But out of real relationship, be their friend and listen to what they have to say. Number five, after you've gone through all of that, you've built a relationship, you've been talking about your story, they know your life story and what Jesus has done for you, right? You can invite them to your house, invite them to dinner, right? Invite them in. Invite them into your life. Invite them into your space, right? Then the other thing, obviously, invite them to church. That's what we're called to do, right? Build Jesus' kingdom. Invite them in to church. Christianity is not something to be ashamed of, right? We're not supposed to forsake the gathering of believers. It's important to have a family. It's important for us to gather, worship together, be there for one another. There are people out there, they're so isolated and alone, and they don't have hope. They don't have friendships. They don't have groups to connect into. Well, church provides that, right? So invite them in. You never know what God will do, how God will speak in a service, or somebody else could pray with them or meet. You just never know. So invite them in. Regardless, know that the work that you've started as you've been sowing, God is with you and he's going to help you. The Holy Spirit is watering those seeds that you're planting, right? We just have to be available. We just have to be willing to step out. And I know that can be scary. I know that can be for some of you that you're like, I'm an introvert. Well, God can use your personality. God can use you just right where you are. Whatever giftings, you have interests, there are things that you do and you show up and there are other people. Well, guess what? If you work out all the time at the gym, well, guess what? Your gym is a great opportunity for you to make some friends and start sharing Jesus, right? Maybe you like coffee and you hang out at Panera a lot. Right? But those places that you frequent, whatever that looks like, that becomes your mission field. That becomes the place that God is calling you. Maybe it's the hospital, you know? Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's your stay-at-home mom, and it's just your mom's group that you show up with. Whatever that is, we all have those folks that are around us. And we have an account. We have a responsibility to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about the love of Jesus, to share the story, what God has done in our lives. Amen?